If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Yep, yep, Ghetto Boys is back and reloaded. All in your mind, yeah, now deep-throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded. The disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it. Cause we wrote it, the north, south, the east coast. It's the GB knocking, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violence, the system is so corrupt. They throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
I got a good question for you, man.
What's that?
So, you on stage at the fucking Oscars and you tell a joke about somebody's wife and the husband runs up on you. Quick, what's the first thing you gonna do?
Well, I studied Hapkido for a while, so I'll try maybe kick him in his face.
Okay.
Or kick him, maybe low kick him in the knee or something.
What you all gonna?
What I mean,
you,
Willie, what, they came up with Willie. Oh, pop, pop, pop.
But what if you didn't? You thought that would be the last thing?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
You
if
was
I stood there and
do.
I say, "Yo, what?" And he hit me, then I would probably kick him in his back if he walked away.
Right.
I'd be like this. I'd be like this. What the fuck, Chip? I would like probably push him.
Right.
Fuck out of here, man.
Was Chris cool for turning the other cheek? Was that cool?
Oh, it made him actually got him his ticket sales went up. And Will Smith's not a small dude. Will's kind of a big guy. He's not
he
a small.
Ain't want none of that bunk. He ain't want no smoke.
I think if because like let's say Corey Holcomb was on that stage.
Let's just say Willie D was up there.
Oh, that Willie, he would have got them hands, right?
Well, what would you do?
Well, here's the thing. Like,
would you slipped it?
For me, I have this thing called discernment, right? Yeah. And I would not have did that bit, like. I know there's a line. I know comedians always say, there ain't no line. Is it funny?
No,
it's funny.
There's a line.
But there's an imaginary line,
yeah,
right?
There's a line.
And unless I had a bone to pick with Will, I probably wouldn't have said, I know I would not have said that joke.
Right.
I would have had to have some type of angst, you know, mm-hmm. in regards to him. Right. You know, other than that, you know, I would not tell that joke because I don't want to, I try to avoid situations that'll make, that will make me have to engage in conflict. You know, I try to avoid them right. type of situations because conflict is costly. Even if you win, you might lose.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I try to avoid those type of situations.
Yeah.
So if, let's just say hypothetically, if it was me, of course, my career would have been over right there on the spot.
Why?
Because I would have fucked Will up. I would have fucked Will all the way up, you know? My career would have been over right there in that moment. Because all that old Oscar shit don't mean nothing to me like that. It's cool. I'm thank y'all for letting me host the Oscars. I know it's a great moment. It's a great accolade for me to have in my career.
But this motherfucker just hit me.
But this motherfucker just slapped me. Is one of the, slapping a man is one of the
yeah,
worst
the
things
worst,
that you
spitting,
can do to a
slapping.
Man. It's to slap a man.
That's right.
And look, I've never been slapped by a man, but I've been fucking spit on by a man.
Goddamn.
And that man will never spit on another human being in life. Okay? I don't play like that. So right. I would like, I would not play like that. Like that right there, yeah. I would have had the fuck wheel all the way up. Not just
some of the way
a up. Little bit, all the way the fuck up. I don't care about the Oscars. I don't give a fuck about decorum. I don't give a shit about all y'all talking about, well, that was the respectful thing to do.
And the nominees are for the best combat on stage.
Man, say, it would have just been what it was, but I'm glad I was not in that position. Yeah, and, it was, and I'm glad, I'm really glad, you know, and it's easy for me to say because it didn't happen to me. Yeah. Right. But I'm glad that Chris did not strike him. I'm glad that Chris did not hit him back. Because now you got two black men, two prominent black men, engaged in this foolishness.
This was so
and it would have just looked really fucking fucked even more. And I'm not, and the embarrassment to me is not about how other people see us. It's about how we see ourselves.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck
what all the, about self,
everybody like else thinking or whatever. I care about how we see ourselves.
Knowledge
and
yourself.
That overall, that was not a good look for us.
Knowledge
because there
yourself.
Are people, there are young comics and young entertainers and young people, period, who look up to both of those guys. And to see that type of
foolishness,
ignorance, you know what I'm saying,
that happen. That line has to be drawn, and you can't say certain shit in comedy.
No, I think it's contextual. You're at an award show. You're going to have a different state of mind. You're at an award show. Everybody's watching. Families are watching. Boom, boom, boom.
Was that really, really bad?
No, I don't think it was bad because G.I. Jane looks really good. Like, Demi Moore looked good as fuck as G.I. Jane.
I think we'll finish it.
No, okay. Because he said G.I. Jane 2. That's Chris Rock, man. That's like within the safeness of... We're talking about movies. It's a celebration of movies. He said, G.I. Jane. That's contextual to what's going on. It's movies. Demi Moore looked good as fuck with the shaved head. Jada, you're not a bad looking lady. You look good. He was saying that. And the fact that it got a laugh, she felt like, boom, the alopecia thing. But you don't look like you have alopecia. It wasn't about that. It was like, you look good. But he's Chris Rock. I'm a comedian. I thought Chris was in the right. I don't think he was that bad. He was complimenting her. And I thought they were friends. I thought he knew them like that. But then he made a comment on them in 2016.
And that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
It's like me what and you. It's like we done bumped heads a few times before. I got something on my chest right now.
Yeah.
And then now here we go again. Yeah. And actually, he probably
Will
was sitting
laughed,
up there
though.
Late. That's what really throws
Will
it
laugh.
Off is
Will
the fact
like,
that he laughed.
Jada was like,
see, now that, see, now that's what really, really made a lot of people say, nah, dude, that wasn't cool. Because had he had that reaction out the
right
jump,
away,
right
he was
away,
like, yo, man, chill
and
with that.
And that's what how
chill
you made
that.
Me feel.
Yeah.
You made me feel bad enough to make me want to come up there.
It was
but
delayed.
Nah, I was cool. And then my wife, nah, I got to go
delayed.
Do something.
And then they said it was planned. Everybody's saying it's fixed. Have you heard this shit?
That probably wasn't fixed.
Nah.
I was like, what? My thing is this. Even if it was fixed, who the fuck planned that stupid shit? I'm about to win the Oscar. Let's go up. I want you to smack Chris Rock. Then go back and say, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
Nah.
What kind of plan is that? I don't know. A lot of people say it was fixed.
They didn't. Nah.
I think Will just came unhinged, man. He just lost.
I think he's coming apart personally because even when in his speech, he goes, I'm tired of smiling people's faces when I shoot. I think that he's always been the good black kid for so long that he wants to shake that shit. And I think, and this some people may get mad at this, that Jada is part of this shit, man. She's part of making him feel like he ain't shit sometimes. Maybe she throws that Tupac shit in his face because he's like, oh, your raps are a little corny. Tupac had real rhymes. Parents just don't understand. You never know.
I can't
believe it. This motherfucker.
Shit, that shit was dope.
What? No, I love
parents
that.
Parents don't understand. That's dope shit.
Summertime, listen,
all that. You know, like
I'm a Will Smith fan, but no, I'm
know,
saying.
Brand new
know,
funk.
I know old.
Come on, man. All that, man. All that. Will
Rock the House album.
No, before that.
But I'm saying.
Why me fucking.
But what if? I'm sad. Remember, this is
he just saying she know how to push his buttons.
Maybe she, remember there's a video of her filming Will, and he's like, could you not do that?
Right.
Stop filming me. This is not for your, I take social media serious. And she's like clowning him.
I said, that was his bread and butter.
Maybe, like, maybe that it was like, we're not with them all the time. There could be some brawl out hard arguments where he's going, why the fuck do you always do that to me? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
And she's living off of him. He's the breadwinner. Fuck what you heard. He's the king. And she's been riding off his shit for a while. I'm not taking anything from Jada because I'm a Jada Pinkett. I always love Jada Pinkett.
Me too.
But people are fucking with you because of Will. That's what I think. Will Smith is the king. Fuck what you heard. That guy got a record for 8 movies in a row grossing over $100 million. And the residuals must be fucking crazy.
Oh, he a bad motherfucker.
Yes,
well,
he
well,
is.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Will would be all right because he has character equity.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Character equity.
Yeah.
No doubt.
He'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know, hey, he do one shit. You know, it just shows that he's human. You know, we always knew that.
Yeah. But
sometimes people got to see that type of shit. You know, that's why, personally, I don't mind, like, somebody seeing me like going through some shit because, you know, sometimes because the thing is that if you come off too squeaky clean when you do something fucked up, it's going to be harder for you to recover. Look, man, I've done some fucked up shit in the past and I'm going to do some fucked up shit in the future. I don't know when. I don't know when, but I'm telling you, it's coming. And I'm trying to be a better man. I'm trying my ass off, man. I'm trying to be a better man, and I'm hoping that I don't get caught up in something. But some shit gonna happen because I'm not perfect,
right.
And I don't know when somebody's gonna flip that switch and the light don't come on. I don't know.
Right.
I might black out. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know.
Our business is very frustrating. There's a lot of shit that they make you bottle up, especially as black men in America. Holy fuck. And then I see some guys I know that do stuff in the business that I wouldn't do, but they get in, they're here. But I go, I can't do that kind of shit. And it angers me sometimes where I go, I like what I do. I feel great. I wake up going, yeah, mind clear. I go, you know what I mean? My ass ain't leaking. None of that shit. I'm good to go. I don't need a butt plug or nothing. I'm not leaving a trail of blood and fucking
come on,
and anguish and tears.
Yeah, man, PG this thing, man.
No, I just did. I said I don't need a butt plug.
Yeah, shit,
I said I'm not leaking.
Didn't
I do that?
Get the fuck out of here, Tommy.
Hey, Scuff, look at this guy. This guy, we're not toughing this guy up. This guy, all of a sudden, I say my butt. I could have said, my asshole just got fucked. No, I said, hey, my butt's leaking. I try to be as safe as I can. This guy's Disney World right here, I tell you. You can't even fucking talk to anybody. You know what I mean? It's hard being Italian, I guess. Every time I talk to this guy's, oh, let's make a PG. I've been cursing all fucking day. All of a sudden, this guy goes, hey, I might snap. And I just go, hey, I get no respect, I tell you, I get no respect. I'm talking about my butt's leaking, and all of a sudden, he has a fucking problem with it.
Hey, man.
Man, you niggas is funnier than a motherfucker, Jack. Shit, I'm talking about your ass. Shit, man, you motherfucker talking about pussy and shit. Niggas ain't shit. I'm tired of this shit. Goddamn, nigga can't talk about a goddamn thing. Shit, niggas is getting fucked. We got to keep it real, Jack. Goddamn, you kiss my ass. The ghetto boys, you motherfuckers been talking about hoes and shit. I said my ass leaking. This motherfucker turned into church. This motherfucker, you got a lot of nerve, nigga. Goddamn.
Oh, you niggas are real funny. You niggas are very funny. Ghetto boys, you got a lot of goddamn nerve. Call yourself the goddamn ghetto boys. Fifth ward, nigga. Fifth goddamn ward.
Goddamn.
Yeah, that was funny, bro.
Man, you are so fucking talented, man. God Richard damn.
God damn, that was funny.
Paul Mooney.
Yeah, Paul Mooney.
Good God, man. You fucking goddamn, you talented, man.
I appreciate you, man.
Damn.
Coming from talented guys like yourself, who I grew up listening to.
That's crazy,
you know,
man.
You know when I first heard about you guys? I was in Chicago, and we turned to NPR. NPR, the end of the, it was like a college, you know, every, yeah, I think every city has an NPR college. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we're going to be playing, we're going to play these new guys from out of Houston, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, ghetto boys, ghetto boys, ghetto boys, don't fuck with me. We were like, who the fuck are these guys? And we were like, play this shit again. That's how I heard about you guys.
Salute to Chicago, man. Yeah. Chicago has been there from day
one. Yeah, we love you guys.
Y'all show us so much love, man.
Oh, my God.
We really respect Chicago, man. We really respect the people of Chicago. And I'm going to tell you something before you jump in.
Yeah.
Chicago oftentimes get a bad rap. It's not the majority of people in Chicago who behave like savages.
Thank you.
It is a very small percentage of people who are doing all the fucked up shit.
Shooting. Thank you.
They're doing all the foolishness, and you know, along with a few corrupt cops.
Right.
Well, many corrupt cops. But anyway, fam, just to let you know, Chicago has some of the greatest, most beautiful people that I've ever met. Some of the coolest people that I've ever met in my life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that lives in Chicago.
That's right.
And are from Chicago.
And we have a fantastic black community, middle class, wealthy, educated from Chicago. Yeah. You got parts on the south side, the west side, black folks that are killing the game, that are all like HBCU Ivy Leaguers. They're like scientists, doctors, lawyers, murdering the game. Sorry for that word, but there's a strong black community, a strong black presence in Chicago that are not all gangbangers. The fuck out of here. They just like to pump that shit up. But Chicago's a beautiful city. You can go to a lot of beautiful places and no one's doing shit. I mean, if you go to the gang area and throw up some signs, yeah. But other than that, it's isolated shit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, shout out to my Chicago folks. For real. House music all day. You know what I mean?
Chicago,
yeah. But I'm saying, like, yeah, man, this, the whole comedy shit, like I'm saying, like, when I look at the business, I go, man, I wish, you know, you can just go, hey, I'm going to take the road of integrity. All right. You guys don't mind. Right. And I can get paid the same amount. You know what I mean? And but it takes you a little longer when you decide to do that. And
it does, huh?
Yeah, of course. Man, I should be on 10 sitcoms by now.
Absolutely.
I should be playing the mailman like, hey, man, I got mail for
you. You should be playing whatever the fuck you want to play,
yeah,
bro.
No doubt.
You got it. You can do whatever.
No doubt.
Like,
you know,
and that just goes to show, man, the majority of people in this country who are at the top, who are in leadership positions, really ain't shit. I'm gonna tell you straight up, bro. Really ain't shit. It's a lot of diabolical people in top positions, because it's no way possible somebody could just watch you for 5 minutes and don't say, man, I need to get this guy. But what they want to know, wait a minute, what's his position on politics? What does he think about this?
Is he going to fuck my girlfriend? Is he going to fuck my wife? I think I'm going to have to go with asexuality. I'm going to say, homo, no. You're bi, no. I'm asexual, my friends. Just let me work.
Yeah.
I have no sex. I don't like any of it. I'm nothing.
Eunuch?
Eunuch.
Yeah, well, if you can be anything other than a heterosexual, you straight in.
Does it include asexual?
Yeah.
LGBTQ?
If you can just call yourself anything
except
a heterosexual male, you straight in.
Man, the way these motherfucking women are nowadays, they can call you out on anything now. I'm just asexual. I'm like, shit. Man, After shows, I used to like, hey, what's up? I'd be like straight in the green room. Thanks, bye. Everybody's calling the cops on everybody now. You can't do shit. You can't even say, hi, how are you? He aggressively said hi to me, and I felt uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable with that. He said hi, said what's up, but it was very, I don't like the way he stressed it. So, yeah, fuck that.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
Like, for real,
you know, because as, you know what it's
that
like.
That shit looks,
you know,
too real, man.
But it's like, I come from the city where you match to a girl. Hey, how you doing? You take a photo like Keanu Reeves. That motherfucker does this with his hands. He keeps it out. He does that. I put my hands in front of me. I'm like this. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, and girls be like, can I hug you? I go, no, we're not doing that.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Mm-hmm.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's still better than me, because at one point, I stopped taking pictures with girls I didn't know.
Yeah.
I never told you this, Brad, but once I was in a club one day in Houston.
Yeah.
And this dude walked up to me and said, "Yeah, Willie D, man. Yeah, what's up, man? You been by to see my sister lately?" I mean, he didn't say my sister. He said, "Have you been by to see my nephew lately?" And I said, "Who is your nephew?" He said, such said the girl name, and, "Man, don't you got a baby by my sister?" I said, "Hold on, bro, I ain't got no kids. And he was like, "Man, she got a picture of you on the mantle at my mama's house." I say, "Dude, do you know how many women that I take pictures with every fucking week?" And the dude mean me, he was a big dude too.
Right.
But I had already sized him up. I was gonna break his ass down.
Right.
But he was like looking down, like, "Yeah, man, he was mad. He was frustrated that I would not claim this little kid that I didn't even know." Yeah. So for a while, like I would say about 2 years, I stopped taking pictures with women I did not know. Because I was just, I was paranoid.
Yeah.
And one day I woke up, man, and I realized I was fucking depressed. And I realized that was part of it. That was part of it, me trying to, like, live up to somebody else's expectations. Because I wouldn't even, if I went to a club, I wouldn't do any type of, you know, get on the dance floor or nothing. Right. You know, not say that I could dance, but, you know, we don't dance, we boogie.
Gangsters don't dance, we boogie. Right.
But I would not even get on the dance floor. I'd go in the VIP area and I just sit or I just stand around. And I just realized, goddamn, man, I had to self-diagnose myself. I was like, "I'm fucking depressed." And that was why. That was the reason. Trying to live up to other people's expectations.
Yeah.
Have you ever found yourself in that type of funk?
It feels like that nowadays. Like, you know, you have people turn on you that you know, like, what? And I have a clean record. Like, I don't even, if a woman rolls her eyes at me, I walk away. if she has an attitude, I'm lazy. I've never been an aggressive, like, yo, I don't even know how guys be touching on girls in clubs. I'm like, how do you just grab a hair like that? Damn. I just be like, hey, and a lot of times I'll meet girls through friends too. Like if you were a group of people, hey, this is my, oh, hey, blah, blah. But I've never catcalled. I never was like,
cat call
like, oh, yo.
I never did that.
That shit. Come on now.
That's some corny shit to me.
I think that's the corniest. Yeah. I've never done that in my life.
I have said, I know that's right when a lady passed by before.
Okay.
You did? I know that's right.
Well, that's subtle. That's not too bad.
But that's not like, hey, all right,
girl.
No,
I ain't gonna do that.
Shake it like it.
I ain't gonna do that.
I've never done that. I'm very that. Like,
I know that.
Like, very, you know, I can rarely look anymore. I'm just, because it's like they've made it like that sort of. You don't want to look. You don't want to do anything. Because
them
everything
ain't going to stop me from looking, bro. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Man, I'll look, but it's
you
a slick way
to stop me from looking. To watch your reaction, man.
you could be like this.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, they got you going, look at, man, that's when he chased old girl right after that. I you never know.
If I can't look at a fine woman, I may as well just go and die.
I mean, yeah, but it's like, and listen, I'm not saying this about all women, but it's like there's this empowerment where they go, I'm going to have my titties out, my ass out, but you better not fucking look at me. Aha. Uh-huh. It's almost like that's a I'm not talking about all women, so I don't want them to go. Of course not. But it's like, that's why when you go to Brazil or you go overseas, they like that you look at them. They love that. They're like, yeah, you're a man. It's good. You know, when I was in Russia, they're like, yes, you're a man. You're a woman. You're supposed to look at the woman. What's wrong? Nothing wrong. It's a woman. Pussy. It's not wrong. You're a man. You're like,
What is it? Pussy?
I was a pitchka. You know, the foreigners like to go like this. You like to fuck. We're like,
I think, but you know.
Black guy got the bigger thing. You're like,
one of the biggest reasons why a lot of women act the way they act when it comes to dressing and stuff is because some men take it too far.
Yeah.
You know, like women, obviously, most women, I do believe, I'm going to go ahead and say most women, I just say many women, how about that? Yeah. Many women dress provocatively because they want men to look. But they want the right, they want the man
they
that they're interested in.
They don't want you looking.
No, they want the man that they're attracted to to look.
Of course, that's not the way the world works.
But exactly. But you get the residual effect, right?
Crackhead's like, looking good than a motherfucker.
All of them look right.
Don't know good.
And then you have women who are on guard because now you have all these uncivilized mutts out here who if a woman rejects them, they want to swing on her.
Yeah, and that's fucked up.
They want to stab her. They want to shoot her.
Yeah, biting her face. Yeah. I'm like, come on, man. What kind of shit is that being raised by ferrets?
Where did these motherfuckers come from and when did it start?
Insecurity. That's an insecurity move. When you go, fuck you then, bitch. That's, what the fuck? She don't owe you her number. Woman don't owe you her information. She don't owe you shit. Just because you see a girl don't mean you own her. Because, you know, it'd be like, oh, I saw you over there. Okay, all right, that's cool. But doesn't mean I owe you my number.
The trip part about it is that women don't, a lot of times, women don't know how to respond.
And
because if they're just polite, a guy don't know how to shut it down.
He don't know how to shut it down.
Right? If they're too aggressive with their rejection, then he may take exception to it and take it even further
and
want to become violent.
It's harder for women, man. It is. I feel bad because I'm not even like that. I wouldn't even do that. As soon as he says no, I remember one time I saw a girl and I was like, man, she's nice looking. You know, I was with my buddies and they go, yo, go over there and just go over there. Because we used to challenge each other. Yo, just go try to get a number. I said, I don't even do this kind of shit. I said, all right, let me go over there. So I said, excuse me. See, I was real polite. I was like, excuse me, can I? And she goes, oh, I don't really have time. I said, oh, that's okay. Have a nice day. And she goes, you're not even going to try? Yeah. And I go, you said no. I'm out. Nah, that's it. I'm lazy to the motherfucker. She actually laughed at the shit. I was like, nah, have a good day. I was like, nah, I'm cool. Because you know what? That woman could be, she could have an ex-boyfriend that's crazy. She could be going through some shit. There's so many scenarios of what they're going through. And we automatically think, that bitch rejected me. No, dude. First of all, you don't have to call her no bitch. You don't have to say that. What if she's going through shit in her life? What if she got a man that's crazy and she wants you to get the fuck away from her? And what if it's just you? No, she don't like you.
I was about
She's not attracted to your ass.
I was about to
keep
say
it
that.
Moving. Yeah. Sometimes they don't like the way you were born, sir. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, if I go up to a girl, she goes, she don't like the way I look. What are you going to do? You ain't going, fuck you then, bitch. No. You can't even be. It's what it is. It's fair. She don't like you, motherfucker. Move.
Right.
You know what I mean? Man, someone's going to like you.
You know, I'm so arrogant, bro, that in my mind, if I try to talk to a woman and she reject me, in my mind, it's her loss at the end of the day.
Because
I know I'm a good dude, right?
There's nothing
I know
wrong
I'm a solid
that.
Dude. I know yes. I'm a good dude.
Of course.
And I just feel like she ain't going to find a motherfucker better than me no way. So,
well, and there's nothing wrong with that
really
in
gonna,
your mind.
That's really going to be her loss. Exactly. But I'm cool with that.
Right, as long as you're not like, you're going to find nobody better than me anyway,
exactly.
Bitch. Because you know I'm a whole fool, man. I'm a low. As long as you're not rolling off your resume.
Nah. It's over. It's over.
And I always said, you know, you're not everybody's type. And another thing, too, I said, if we were judged by conversation and intelligence, I'd be smoking everybody.
Right.
I'm talking about just literally conversation. Oh, come on now.
But you got it. But yeah, don't work that way because the impression is made within seconds.
Oh yeah, 2 seconds. Yeah,
sure. You figure out. She figured out right away whether she's gonna be receptive of you or not.
Right.
And so she never even get a chance to hear your conversation.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee you that once she starts talking, once you get her number and y'all start communicating,
right.
Or even if you're just standing, sitting in the airport waiting, you know, it's a different story.
No doubt. And I, you know, I take pride in how I treat it. You know, I like to make them laugh, da da da. I don't say sexual shit to women ever. I know that's why if someone says, you said that, I go, no, I don't talk like that. And motherfuckers know I don't talk like that. I don't say, ooh, you know, I'm going to be like a corny old white man. I'd like to have that for breakfast.
Yeah.
The fuck is that corny shit? I would never say that to anybody. And, you know, even after shows, women will touch on me. Boom, boom, boom. But I don't touch on them. I don't grab on them when I'm taking pills. I don't do that shit. Ever. You know, you put your arm around somebody, but it's like you're taking a photo. But I don't grab and rub. Bullshit. I don't act like that. Ever. Unless I am consensually with you and we are consensually sexual with each other and it's an agreement. I touch you, you touch me. I kiss you, you kiss me. You like that? I rub you, you rub me. It's all consensual. Yeah, that's basic shit. But nah, I don't just do that when someone didn't ask I didn't ask permission and they don't want that. I know when someone don't want me fucking around with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. You know who not to touch. You know. A woman will let you. When she wants you to. If she don't want you to fucking even be around, is she going to let you know? It's not hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
She will let you know.
Oh, yeah. And that's why what I do is I just go to the green room. I save myself. I go to the green room. And
well, you got more action anyway. If you're the guy, if it's Godfrey in headlights, if Godfrey is on the marquee, you already got the edge.
That's what I'm saying.
You really ain't got to do
that. I remember, you remember Robert Wagner?
Yeah.
Heart to Heart.
Heart to Heart. Yeah.
Heart to Heart. Right. And when they met, it was Moida. So I did a movie with him called Dennis the Menace Christmas. It comes on every Christmas. I shot it in Montreal. And you know, Robert Wagner's from the days of Sinatra, them cool motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. And one day he invited us all to dinner. This motherfucker's cool as shit, yo. And he's talking about all this old movie shit. And you know, when he was young, that motherfucker was handsome as shit. And he's like, and there's this waitress, like, sir, fine black chick serving us and stuff. And I was like, man, she looked real nice looking, you know? And she's laughing with me and this. I was like, oh, I'm being very nice. And then I go, and she's looking over my way a little bit. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go over there. So I like kind of go over there, right? I go over there and I say a couple things. I come back and Robert Wagner's just sitting there going, you kind of fucked up, kid. I said, what do you mean? You already had her. You didn't even have to move. A guy like you shouldn't be doing so much moving. He's like, you already had her. She already liked you. You might have fucked that up. You did too much. He was so fucking gangster. This shit was so smooth. He goes, you didn't even have to move. A guy like you shouldn't have to move that much.
Now, where were y'all?
We were in Montreal. It was in Montreal.
Home of the like what,
yes.
But I'm saying, like, what kind of venue were you at?
We were in a restaurant. It was a nice little restaurant. It was private. It was right. nice, and then the girl was in it. Yeah, he was like,
you so she to... came up to you, and then you.
Well, she. It was just when we were our exchange was very like it was like nice. It was nice, and I was mm-hmm. making her laugh a little bit because she was coming. I was like, oh, what's your name? Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'm from. It was like that. It wasn't like let me get that number. No, it wasn't that shit. And then you know, I was like, you know what? I think I'm gonna go over there and maybe you know talk to her a little more because our food hadn't come yet, and I was like, mm-hmm. oh, let me. And he goes, you did too much, man.
Well, let me ask you this. How did it work out?
I did too much, man. He was fucking right. Damn.
Yeah. Who have you had the most fun working with?
Us.
Yes.
Besides us.
Besides you guys? Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. Breakfast Club. I mean, you're talking about just in general or just comedy?
No,
or?
No. I'm saying working with like, whether it be comedy, whether it be movies, whether it be.
Oh, man.
Anything
original
along.
Original Gangsters, man. That was fun.
I wasn't that fun.
I had fun because I had fun because I was hanging Richard Roundtree.
Yep.
We were in Original Gangsters.
Wasn't
Pam
Grier
in that? Yes,
Fred,
Pam Grier.
Fred Williamson.
Richard Roundtree, Ron.
That's the whole crew got back together.
Superfly O'Neal, Ron Superfly. Yep. We had Superfly. Yeah. We had Wingshauser. Bushwick was there. I'm sorry, guys. He was there.
We was all there. Willie wasn't there.
And Willie weren't there, but he was there.
In spirit.
Right. And then there was, who else was there? Yeah. Pam Grier was cool as shit. I had fun doing it because I was, and Jim Brown. I had fun.
Let me ask you about Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Have you been paying attention to his politics over the last 2-3 years? Well, maybe not so, 2-3 years, but more like old, 4 or 5 years.
He's so old, I don't really care.
Yeah.
About his, I mean, he's been, was remember he was hanging with Trump, right?
Right.
I don't really judge him from that. He's done enough work as far as for our community, enough. Right now, I'm like, is he really making an impact?
But do you live your entire life where you are making an impact and you are doing for your people and then get to the end? You know, Jack, you get to the end and then just throw all the shit away. Just say, you know what? I'm finna just throw my people under the bus and be a coon.
Yeah.
Shit, you know what, really?
Oh, your song.
Let me ask you a question.
You a coon. He did it twice. Coon too.
So coon. Is he a coon because he took the meeting with Trump?
Nah, bro, listen to his rhetoric.
What is he saying? Like Herschel Walker?
He's some Herschel Walker type shit though.
Herschel Walker saying.
You gotta listen to him talk.
What is he saying?
It's not just him. You know,
is it dementia?
No, he ain't got no dementia.
He's fine.
When Bill Cosby was talking about black people, like you. He's
pull your pants up, and you got to put the
girls is underage. Y'all getting pregnant. All
but
that
you see,
like,
but
damn,
you see, man. You see, Bill ain't saying that shit no more. Bill got his wake up call.
Yeah,
and see, you know, it typically happens.
Yeah, you got the wake up call. Like someone like Candace Owens, man. Nope. The past couple times, she's been saying some shit right on point though. She be, it's like it's a love hate thing. She tries to suck us in.
That's how they do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how they do. Charles Barkley is good at that too.
Oh boy.
This is what they do. See, now I got to question his shit. You know. So this is what happened. This is what happened. Solid.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't talking about what he be saying about
politics.
But TNT. Charles,
he's
a good basketball. He was a great basketball player.
He might have been a great basketball player, but he ain't shit as a man.
Oof. Now that's terrible. Yeah, terrible.
The thing is that you know we can't afford to have people that are we can't afford to have anybody period that's members of our society disparaging us and throwing us under the bus.
Yeah, that's not
but
cool.
We damn sure cannot have people who are in positions of power and influence to be out there throwing mixed messages. This is something that they're very good at doing. They'll throw a couple of truths out there and get everybody going like, man, I believe that. That's real.
Right,
that's real.
Right,
that's
right.
Real.
And
that's
then
real.
They flip.
And then they go like, and the rest of it be all one-sided. See, here's the thing. When your criticism of the black community outweigh your contribution, you're a coon. Okay? So watch them. Just pay attention to them.
Yeah.
Watch what they do. Fuck what they saying. You know what I'm saying? Because they can say some cool shit, and you be like, yeah, 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 yeah. Then they say some fucked up shit, and you be like, oh, that's fucked up. Then they say cool shit, you back
yeah,
that
yeah,
again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Candace yeah, yeah. Owens will be then like, fucked I'll be up like, shit. Oh, you back that was right again. On point, see, but I go,
See what I'm saying? It's always
she said a lot of fucked up shit,
but watch, more than she but is. Watch what they do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that chick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's not for us. Period.
No,
she's not for us. Period, man. So, you know, it's the same thing with the Stacey Dash chick, right?
Oof.
You know, she it was
she's trying
it,
to come back too.
She done.
Yeah,
she's done, man. You know what I'm saying? She's done.
Yeah, she said. I don't even know how people have the nerve to say that kind of shit on TV. She goes, "What if there was White History Month?"
But check this out. But check this out, Godfrey. People like Charles Barkley, Candace Owens, and the rest of them, even Stephen A. They'll talk that black talk down shit. Well, I'm just telling the truth. Yeah. They'll say shit about black people, but we ain't had them motherfuckers collectively or generalized bad shit about white people. When have they made disparaging comments about white folks in general? They'll do that shit all day with black folks.
Yeah,
but they will not do that shit with white folks. That lets you know what type of motherfuckers they are.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Just listen. If you want to listen to them, but watch what they watch what they do. But you can listen to these motherfuckers and tell what they really about. Just because they put on a suit and talk proper and all that old shit, be on Fox dun-dun-dun with all the fucking theme music and all that old shit. That don't mean shit, man.
Yeah.
Watch them motherfuckers. Watch what they say and watch what they do, more importantly.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What about Shannon Sharpe?
I like Shannon.
I like Shannon.
Skip. I
just want to tell you something, Skip. You have to understand, Skip. This is I've been in the NFL for a long time, Skip. And you got to understand some of these players, Skip. You really have to be aware of yourself, Skip. Like my grandmother said, if you're a frog, you better jump. Now I know
Shannon Skip, Shannon is consistent.
Good. Yeah. Now I know Skip. I say a lot of sayings that don't make no damn sense, but that's just the way I talk. I'm from the South, Skip. Skip, come on now. You gonna tell me that?
Shannon, I like Shannon. You know, Shannon, he's a straight shooter.
Yeah,
and he's consistent.
Yes, he is.
Okay, he's very consistent, and you know he's gonna say what it is. You know, to be honest, I'm surprised Shannon's still on network.
Yeah, he be going in
because he, you know, I'm not gonna say he don't give a fuck. The reason he does give a fuck. No, but he does give a fuck. That's why he say what he say.
The ratings are like
he speaks the truth. He says how he feels. He talks about, he says what it is because he does care.
But he has a balance with Skip. Skip, you know, Skip is Bayless is there listening to him, and Skip will validate a lot of shit that he says. So with that, the white agreement too helps too, you know.
Well, Skip can't help but validate. I ain't gonna say validate because that means that he needs him to co-sign and
Skip from Chicago
Valley. But Skip will co-sign because Skip knows that he's gonna sound like a goddamn fool if he don't. Because Shannon be so on point.
Yeah, Shannon.
Shannon takes the wiggle room out of the argument. See, right. Anytime you're having, right. you have to take the wiggle room out because motherfuckers be sitting around waiting to attack. They just be waiting on a way to sneak in, slither in, and say something opposing to try to make you look stupid and make it seem like you don't know what you're talking
and
about.
Shannon says it loud so Shannon and
takes
clear.
The wiggle room out, and Skip knows it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he has little choice if he don't want to look like a damn fool.
Yeah, yeah. That's because the way you got to understand too, they work under Disney. Disney owns ESPN. A lot of these big, so they got it. How do you navigate? Okay, I want to be black, not lose integrity, and I got these corporate motherfuckers watching me. And Shannon knows how to navigate that. Stephen A., I used to watch him at the beginning. I used to watch him like first take. I used to be like, all right, yeah, I like. Then he just started saying crazy shit about black people. I was like, really? How about say nothing about us like that? I can understand if you don't want to be controversial, but why do you got to shit on us?
And he always shit on black men.
Yeah, why you got to shit on us tough. Doing that?
When he talk about black men, he's super badass, tough.
Yep,
I'm telling you like this. Yeah. Da, da, da. You know, da, da, da.
Like, keep our name out your mouth, man.
Man.
Just be neutral. I'd rather you be neutral and I'll understand. Like, I'll understand a brother's neutrality because I'll go, I get it. I get it. As long as you ain't fucking throwing us under the bus, I get why you're neutral because sometimes we got to be. Everybody can't be outspoken. There's people like us that are working different ways. There's different ways to skin a cat. You don't all have to be like, I believe that. No, there's people working in the law. I think that the black man and we got to come together because every time, la, 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 la. Not,
everybody. That shit
ain't gonna work. Not every time. I believe that the black man, we are second class citizens. We have to understand that the black man and the black woman are not protected. We have to, you know, we don't always have to do that. There's not everybody's going to be a Malcolm X. There's people skilled for that.
Sure.
That was Malcolm X. I just did. And we have to understand that the white man makes us feel like second class citizens. And a lot of you coons and Negroes are walking around here, shucking and jiving all the time. They love using entertainers, clowns, and musicians to speak for black people. White people don't do that. I don't see Eminem speaking up for white people. Do you see that? No. You should have black people that are educated in policy and education. But no, you don't want to do that because you might lose that argument. Anyway.
Right on time.
Yeah.
Man.
That's the beautiful thing about all those old footage. Dope, it's the same shit. It's like it's still happening. Right. That's why I say go watch the Malcolm X videos. Go watch nothing has changed. When James Baldwin, have you watched any James Baldwin?
I have.
James
Baldwin. I'm not your Negro.
I'm not your that shit is fantastic.
It's fucking powerful.
Woo, and
it
I'm not
really called I'm not your nigga.
Right.
Changed.
I'm not your Negro. And James Baldwin was a gay black man.
Married to a white woman.
Did he marry a white woman?
I love y'all, man. I gotta go.
You gotta go?
Yeah.
But you've been going about 8 times.
Yeah, I got a new kidney, so I be peeing all the fucking time.
Oh, is that what? Oh, is it working though?
like a motherfucker.
Good. I thought she was tired of the podcast. I'm like, God damn, Scarman. He's like, man, I'm out. No, I'm back. Now I'm out.
Baldwin. What is it?
James Baldwin. James Baldwin, I am not your Negro. Everybody should watch that. Came out a few years ago.
What you got coming up, guy?
What do I have coming? When is this playing? When is it? When are you guys?
Can't say right now.
Okay. What I got coming up.
Oh, I'm lying. He wasn't married.
He had a white boyfriend.
What you got coming up in the next few months?
In the next few months, I got the Miami Improv, 22nd to the 24th. I don't know if it comes out at that point. Mm-hmm. But I've got all the different, you guys could check my Instagram, Comedian Godfrey, and you'll see my dates. You know, I have my dates on there. Should I look up my dates?
And what about the podcast? Godfrey
My podcast,
We Trust.
Which you guys should be on someday, is in Godfrey We Trust, which is on the Gas Digital Network, Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's dope as hell. I had Faison on there, you know. I've had Lord Jamar on there from Brand Nubians. I've had Rod Digg. I've had a lot of different people on my shit. It's dope as hell. T.I. came on. We were talking about the whole comedy controversy. It's a pretty good podcast. Gas Digital Network. Subscribe to it.
So you talked to T.I. after the...
Oh, yeah. After our little thing in Atlanta?
Fiasco, yeah.
Yeah, we talked, man.
Okay. Man, with you and T.I. in Atlanta. Hold up.
Oh, expeditiously. See, this is what happened. I was at the Atlanta Comedy Theater, and I was finishing. I had done like an hour, 40 minutes. I got off. My boys, like, had host and say, yo, man, I'm going to keep the show going. I go, why? I'm the headliner. It's the end of the show. Nah, T.I. is going to go up. I was like, to do what? I was like, what do you mean? Like, he's going up to rap or some shit? He's doing comedy. I was like, what the fuck? And I didn't know. Okay, he's going to do comedy. Didn't know he's doing comedy. So I see him. I give him a pound. Boom, boom, boom. It's T.I. I'm a T.I. fan. I say, yo, I'm going to wait. I'll wait in the green room. Blah, blah, blah. And we talked, hung out a little bit. He was cool as shit. And then when I went back to my podcast, back to New York, they were asking me, did you go watch him? I said, no, I didn't watch him because I didn't know he was doing comedy. I don't see him as a comedian. Not to insult him, but I just headlined. Why am I going to go watch him do what I do best? He's a rapper. I didn't know he was doing comedy. And my thing is, I don't care that he's not doing comedy. It's just that I just finished doing an hour and 40 minutes. I always go to the green room and sit my ass down and decompress. You know, after performance, you're like, shit.
Could you hear, what club was this?
It was Atlanta Comedy Theater in Norcross,
so
Atlanta.
How far is the dressing room, the green room from the stage?
Oh, it's not that far. It's like a few feet. So, like you can walk.
But you heard.
There's two green rooms, and the exit to the stage leads to the first green room, and then you can go to the other one.
You heard T.I.'s show.
I didn't really hear it. I was in the other room, in the other green room, the main one that I stay in.
Okay.
And I was like, I already finished. I'm not going to watch, because I was like, he's doing comedy? I didn't, because, you know, I took it as in everybody's approaching comedy like it's easy. I'm like, I'm a purist. I'm a real comedian. I don't fuck around. I'm the real deal. You know what I'm saying? Not just me. You guys are the real deal. It's like, I'm the real fucking deal. Like, from Mike Epps to Kat to Corey to shit to Louis C.K. We're the real, we do real comedy. And there's a lot of, like, Instagram people or whatever. And there's some Instagram people that are taking it serious. And there's younger guys that are, and women that are taking this shit serious. And everybody's thinking, I'm going to do comedy. Like, what's her name from Housewives of Atlanta? Nene. Because she's a big personality, but it doesn't mean it transfers over to comedy. I'm not saying you can't do comedy, but...
So to keep it a buck, you was offended. And that's why you...
I was kind of... Yeah. And yeah. I just wasn't even that offended. I was just like, I'm not going to go watch.
Because you were offended.
I wasn't offended. I just wasn't interested. Because I was like, he's doing comedy? I don't get it. Like, I was like... That's all. That's the reason. But he felt like I insulted him the whole nine, and he expressed it in a video. Everybody was calling me. You see the video T.I. made? You know when T.I. goes into the woods? When he goes into the woods, he's mad at something. He goes, I have something to say. I want to express myself. The other day, Godfrey, expeditiously. No, T.I. is my man. And Nick Cannon, shout out to Nick Cannon. Called. Yeah, I said, can we make a FaceTime? I want to FaceTime him. We talked. He said, man, I respect you, man. You an OG in this game. You one of the best. Da, da, da. I appreciate that. I said, man, I fuck with you. I was just talking like a comedian. I'm a headliner. I'm not coming out to watch you. That's hustling back. What the fuck I look like? I'm the headliner. Right. You're T.I. You're a superstar. But so, I'm the star of this comedy show.
So you were actually protecting your bag going forward also.
Right.
By not going out there. Because if you had went out there after that.
It takes away from the.
Not only does it take away from that moment, but it could affect your bag later down the line. You know, like if somebody get away with that once, they'll try you again. Right?
That's what I'm saying.
So.
Yeah, it's like it was just code of ethics. That's all it was.
Right.
It wasn't him doing comedy. I go, good for you. And then I said, man, you really taking this shit serious? He goes, man, I've been going. I said, that's what's up. Be ready for the grind. Because comedy is a fucking what? To get the art form itself. I'm not talking about the travel. T, I don't have a problem traveling. The guy's loaded. I'm talking about the art itself is a grind. To get it down takes a lot of work. It's sculpting. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says. You can listen to the podcast, talk whatever you want. We can go pound for pound on the mic. It takes a lot of work. When I first did comedy, I knew I was funny, but I didn't have shit to say. And Bernie Mac used to tell me that shit. He's like, these motherfuckers, you know, thinking they can just come up here and do the shit. It takes a lot of motherfucking work. You know?
Had conversations, private conversations with Bernie
Mac? Used to fucking school me on shit.
Yeah?
Yeah, he goes to the guys. He goes, you know, half the motherfucking job. It's being interesting. You got to be a motherfucking interesting, you know? Motherfuckers got to want to be in a room with your ass. He used to say that shit. And I used to be like, yeah, they want it. And he says, you got to put the time in. You know, I've learned that from Seinfeld. Seinfeld, when he talked to me, he said, hey, how long you been doing comedy? This is about 10 years. I said, about 10 years? He goes, you're a 10-year-old. That's your age in comedy. Remember that. You know, Seinfeld been doing comedy since the 70s. I was advised by Cosby. Before all this shit happened, he gave me advice. That's when his son was murdered. I was there. I was working there.
Damn.
Yeah, I was there. I was there. I remember the day and everything.
What did Cosby tell you?
He said, I remember this shit. I said, hi, because you could come into his office and talk to him. He had his cigar and shit. He goes, hey, how you doing? You know, I said, hey, man. That's how exactly.
He allowed you to just stop by.
Yeah, you can just walk into his office, right? Open and say, hey, what's up, Dr.
Cosby? Unlike Steve Harvey.
No, Steve, like, you better close that damn door. Just walk your ass in here. No. And Steve gave me advice when I was in a comedy team in Chicago. I was in a duo, and my man was fucking up the whole thing because I was writing all the shit. He was getting high drunk, forgetting the lines. And Steve Harvey, I was in the hallway. It was a place called All Jokes Aside in Chicago.
Oh, All Jokes Aside.
All Jokes Aside. My man Raymond Lambert. Shout out to Raymond Lambert, Mary Lindsay, and James Alexander. And he goes, he goes, what's wrong, man? I said, my partner keeps forgetting I was in a comedy team. It was called Godfrey and Alexander, my first year. We opened up for Adele Givens and Steve and TK Kirkland. And he goes, TK is the one that got me my manager, and he's the reason why I moved to New York, TK Kirkland.
God damn, TK got his hand in everybody's career, man. It's the truth.
TK sounds like he's lying. When TK talks, he sounds like he's lying, and he's not.
No, I believe him.
He can't be like this.
He's one of those dudes.
He's like, Godfrey, I got him to go to New York. No, I was there. And you'd be like, he's lying. No, he's telling the truth.
It's amazing, man, how this dude just moves around, man, and how he's just been involved in so many people's careers.
He got me my first manager. I moved to New York because out of him arranging that shit. It was TK Kirkland.
Wow. Shout out to TK.
And my first roommate was Viola Davis.
Wow.
When she was at Juilliard acting school. And I saw Viola not too long ago at an interview at 92Y in New York. And I met her backstage and she goes, there goes my roommate. She remembered me.
So what did Steve tell you? What advice?
Steve was like, he's like, you the funny motherfucker. You the funny one on that one. He's like, you the funny one. You the more talented one. He goes, how much you getting for this? I said, we're getting like $100. He goes, are you tired of splitting that shit? I said, yeah. He goes, cut his ass. And he walked off. That's when Steve Harvey had a ball in his spot. He goes, I'll see you later. And he walks off. And I go, I'm going to cut his ass. He goes, cut his ass. That's your money, boy. His ass, his dumb ass up there wasting time. You ain't got time to be splitting that shit. Get your $100, boy.
So what did Bill Cosby tell you?
Cosby said, Cosby goes, the first thing he goes, writing. You got to put it on the paper. You got to write, son. You got to writing. Your ideas have to go on the paper. You have to write. You got to be writing the ideas. But, oh, yeah. Then he goes, I want you to see the word show business. Show business. What is the long, bigger word? Business. He goes, Yeah. He's like, writing. You got to write. Put it in. And he says, you know, Sinbad? He knocks it out the park. Sinbad.
Yeah,
it was beautiful, though. I got advice from a lot of great people, man. Worked with Robin Williams. We have the same birthday.
Robin Williams give you any advice?
No, he never really gave advice. He just sat quietly. But you, if you got him hyped, like I would talk like that, you know, that corny black voice, and he would start doing it. I'd be like, what's up, Robbie? He'd be like, hey, man, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, brother. Yeah. He's like a little toy.
I heard
toy.
Him do that before. That
yeah, one, you know, yeah. The little corny black shit yeah. He does? And he's the nicest man, though.
He was one of my favorite dudes.
Such
man.
A nice
favorite
man.
Dude.
Same birthday, July 21st. Wow. And he's such a nice. I've worked with him a few times. He's a humble dude.
Yeah.
Oh, he was great. Great dude. I work with Ray Romano sometimes. Another good dude. Yeah, I work with a lot of good folks. There's some good comedians. George Wallace, same birthday.
George Wallace.
You know, there's a lot of stupid people out here. I'm just so tired. You ever see somebody just so damn stupid? I'm so, you know, that's George Wallace, man. That's my man.
Yeah.
Real humble dude. Always encouraging. He said, man, you're just so talented, Godfrey. You're so talented. Just keep it up, Godfrey. You're just beautiful. Just keep doing it, man. Just keep doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to like when he used to do that bit. Where some things just don't make no sense. Yeah.
Yeah, he's funny. Funny dude, man. Just so, yeah. I've been fortunate to work around really, really great comedians, the whole nine. Seeing people, you know, get to the top, man. And you go, yeah, I'm almost there.
Yeah,
I'm there. I'm a successful comedian. Let me not sit here and go, I ain't kind of anything. No, I'm a successful guy.
No, you are successful.
In my way.
You are successful.
Yeah.
But with that, we know that there are other opportunities out there for comics on your level. And so how frustrating is it that you don't get those opportunities?
Well, man, who doesn't want to be in a Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
Fuck, I grew up on Spider-Man. I met Stan Lee 3 times. Yeah. Who doesn't want to be in all that shit? You know, we grew up boys, man. We want to do a tuck and roll and shoot a gun. We want to drive a car, fast car, get the girl. Yeah. It's frustrating, man. I'm a pretty good actor too. I have great acting teachers. I studied under in New York City and, lady by the name of Alice Spivak. She passed away though. Alice Spivak in New York City. She's a legendary acting teacher. I have pretty decent chops. I didn't say I was Denzel, but you know, I'm decent. And then I see a lot of cats that I go, I think I have better skill than that guy. Mm-hmm. And you go, but you know, it's like, it's my bed. I have to lay in it. I chose to do this shit. I chose it. And this business has always been like this. I didn't just come into it and go, what? I didn't know they... It's always been the thing. And then I kind of back up and go, well, think about what Step and Fetch It went through. Think about what Hattie McDaniel went through. Think about what Moms Mabley went through. Think about what Woody Strode went through. Think about all these people from the past. Think about how much worse it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, shit, I got it good compared to that.
Motherfucker, what? And then sometimes I start to do that and I go, let me chill. I'm so fortunate to be doing this job for 20-something years. No job. I call my own shots. I do what the fuck I want. I get to travel everywhere. I have great crowds. I'm making money doing what I love, man. Come on. And it's not like I haven't been on anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But as an artist, we still want other things. You're like a plant. If you put a plant in a box, it's going to still try to find other ways to extend. I want to do more films. Hell yeah. I got the skills there. I would love to have my own show. Yeah, single camera, some dope shit. I watch a lot of television, lots of movies. Yeah, I want to do my own shit. I would love to go, here, I have something. Let's do it. You know? And it's coming. You know? It's just some people's lanes. It's just,
It's like traffic. Some lanes are moving slower than others, but you're going to the same destination. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to get it, though. It's impossible for me not to.
Yeah, I want to see you get it, man.
Appreciate that. But I like I'll be doing good, you know, Good Times is coming out animation, you know? They're doing Good Times animation for Netflix. I'm doing some characters on there. And Cree Summer from Different World. Remember Freddie? Remember the girl Freddie? She was the little hip.
She's
a voiceover master.
Is that right?
Oh, Inspector Gadget. She was the girl.
She's been doing all this. Oh,
for 30 years. She is producing the voices. She coached me in some of the voices I'm doing for Good Times. The animation series coming out on Netflix.
She coached you?
She coached me yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was crazy. She was there in the Zoom. I was like,
how many different voices have you heard her do?
She's done like over 30 or 40 of them. She does a lot of voices. It's crazy. Little girls, different animals, shit like that. She's bad as shit. Yeah. It's like Keith David. You know Keith David?
Keith David.
You ever see Dead Presidents? He was Curly, the older black man. Or, Dead Presidents with Lorenz Tate. Or something. Oh, Atlanta. Remember Atlanta with T.I.? Remember he was the rich father? You remember the girl that was pretending like she was really good?
Yeah, okay, I know him. Yeah. He's good. He's real good.
Man. He does.
Everything he's ever done.
Talks like this the whole time. A lot of voiceovers.
He talk like that for real, though.
What? One time I was in a voiceover audition, and he walked in, and I threw my papers up. Everybody started laughing. I said, the fuck? I'm sitting here, like, practicing my shit, going, remember Prudential. And he comes in. How you doing, gentlemen? Oh, shit. I said, man, I'm out.
Yeah, that dude is good.
Yeah, you know, he does a lot of the PBS. Good. He does a lot of PBS narration.
Yeah.
PBS. He has the Jack Johnson documentary. That's his voice. The Jazz 10-part series. It's Keith David. He does a lot. He did Gargoyle. He does a lot. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And I want to do stuff like him.
Yeah. Well, you're amazing too, man. I want to see you do stuff like him.
I appreciate
him.
We
want to see you do
stuff like him. With the Joe Rogan thing, he's following me now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I haven't been on it yet, but
Joe's following you?
They say Joe's following me.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's following me.
Come on, Joe.
I mean,
come on, Joe.
He's a big fan of yours. I mean, I know he has to pick people on his own. But I've done like a lot of his friends' podcasts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just haven't done it. Everyone's like, what are you going to do? Because it took me a long time to do Breakfast Club.
You're on his radar.
That's cool.
You're on his radar.
That'd be fun because I love his podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of my friends are on it, man, and they are blown up from that shit. He has the magic touch. But you guys, I heard your numbers are pretty damn good yourselves.
Yeah, we do our
right. We do what we can on a small ghetto boys budget.
Yeah, you know?
But this is what's up. You know? I'm glad to be on this. I was like, what? We got to do this.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You got to do your show too, man.
So, yeah, man. We can Zoom it. It's all good. Because to talk to you, that'd be fantastic.
And where do you record?
I record in the Lower East Side in New York City. But we always got to feed. I just did Shane.
You know, I may have to come do that show by myself, though. Well, put it like this.
Yeah.
If Brad can make it, fine.
Right.
But my daughter lives in New York, and I need to go back to New York. She just left Houston, but I need to go to New York because I have to, you know, as a father, I got to go in and make sure she's cool. I got to go in.
How old is she? Look
around. 27.
Okay, you gotta look.
She live in Manhattan. I have to go down there. And look
what
around.
Part of Manhattan?
Like she's like right by Radio City Music
Hall. She's not that far from me. I'm by, not too far from Carnegie Hall. She's
right there. She's like
40s.
Maybe two, three blocks.
Okay. All right. Yeah. She's a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
Darn, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, man. And so when's the next time you're going to play New York?
You mean, comedy?
Yeah.
When I get back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? I do it in the middle of the week usually.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I need to link y'all up, man, so she can come out and
she can come out,
show.
Come bring her friends, whatever. Boy, man, I don't care. Yeah, let her, that's cool. That'd be cool. I was like, I finally met you.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Appreciate it. Follow me on Instagram, Comedian Godfrey. See me on a new season of Wildin' Out, season 18, Nick Cannon. See me on a new Michael Che show on HBO Max. And yeah, man, just keep following me. Follow me and follow me and follow me. That's it.
In Godfrey we trust.
Yeah.
No more talk.
No more talk.
This episode was produced by A. King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.